The Pre-K through 12 Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. DJ, please call the roll.
Chair Tomko?
Here.
Vice Chair Gussett Seiden? Ranking Member Williams?
Here.
Representatives Alvarez?
Here.
Gracie Davis?
Here.
Kennedy? Daly?
Here.
Daniels?
Here.
Dunkley?
Here.
Garcia?
Present.
Gonzalez Pittman?
Present.
Lopez?
Here.
Michael?
Here.
Rizzo?
Here.
Temple?
Here.
We have a quorum, Chair.
A quorum being present, I want to welcome everyone to the Pre-K through 12 Appropriations Subcommittee. Please make sure that all cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or on silent mode. And I would also request members that you remember to turn on your mic when we're taking votes on our bills today. So thank you for that. Good morning, members, and welcome to Budget Week. Pretty exciting. Today's meeting officially starts our budget process, and I'm looking forward to that and sharing information with each of you. We do have two general bills on our agenda today. We have HB 553 and CS for H Bill 883. However, I'm going to start with presenting to you my proposed fiscal year 24 through 25 pre-K through 12 budget. I will then turn the gavel over to Representative Rizzo so I can present PCB for PKA 2401, which is needed to conform certain statutes to my proposed budget. Ryan and DJ, if you would please distribute the budget spreadsheet, and I will wait until everyone has one before I start. All right, looking like everyone has one. Remember, members, that the issues on the spreadsheet represent the changes being proposed to the pre-K through 12 base budget. If there are no changes being proposed to something funded in the base budget, then there will be no issue on the spreadsheet. My proposed fiscal year 24 through 25 pre-K through 12 budget totals $21 billion. This includes $15.7 billion that is general revenue funds and $5.3 billion in trust funds. We have six budget entities within our subcommittee, and while I encourage you to review my recommended budget for all six, there are three I want to specifically provide some remarks and highlights. I'll start with Early Learning Services budget entity, which is on page one of the spreadsheet. For this budget entity, I am proposing an amount of $1.7 billion, which includes $594 million in general revenue funds. Some important highlights of my recommended budget include: on row three, I am recommending $59.3 million to fund the Department of Education's estimated school readiness waitlist on June 30th, 2024. On row four, I am recommending $12.5 million for a 3% increase in the BSA for the VPK program. When I was a freshman member and a member of this subcommittee, the VPK BSA for the regular school year was $2,437. I am proud to say that with this proposed 3% increase in the BSA, the regular school year VPK BSA is over $3,000. On row seven is $6.9 million for a new program in VPK called the Summer Bridge Program, which I will explain in the PCB. And finally, for rows 9 through 13, I am recommending the restoration of the non-recurring funds for the additional allocations provided for the school readiness program. I want to skip over the FEFP for now and jump to page 3 and row 27, which is the start of the non-FEFP. The total for this budget entity is $568.9 million. And while the majority of issues funded in this area are appropriations projects, a few of the highlights that I would like to mention include: on row 29, you will see the transfer of $1.6 million for the Tallahassee Collegiate Academy, which will now be funded in the FEFP. On row 33, I am recommending an increase of $20 million for the New Worlds Scholarship accounts. This is the former New Worlds Reading Scholarship, and this amount is aligned with the changes made to this program in HB 1361. On row 34 is $2.8 million and an operational increase for the Florida School for the Deaf and Blind. And on row 36 is $13.2 million for the new transportation stipend program that is established in our PCB. And on rows 42 is $17 million for Jewish day schools for operational costs associated with school security. On row 47, included in the $54.2 million, is $42 million for school hardening grants for school districts. As I previously mentioned, the majority of our funded appropriation projects are in this budget entity, and if you turn to the next to the last page of your spreadsheet, you will see listed by budget entity and appropriations category a list of all the funded appropriations projects. Tried to make it a little easier for you all this year. And with that, we'll move on to the FEFP. Members, the very last page of your budget spreadsheet is the statewide summary of my proposed FEFP for fiscal year 24 through 25. Highlights include a total FEFP of $28.4 billion, which is an increase of $1.8 billion over the current FEFP. You will see an increase of 129,672,000 in the total number of FTE students forecasted for funding in fiscal year 24 through 25. This includes both public school students and FES students to include the increase in the FES UA cap included in my bill HB 1403. The BSA is increased by $176.58, bringing the amount of the BSA to $5,316.31. There is a substantial increase in the base FEFP of $1.3 billion, which I will remind members is the portion of the FEFP that school districts have total discretion over its spending. There's an increase of $217.53 in the statewide funds per student, bringing this amount to $8,936.11. I am recommending an additional $202 million to continue to assist school districts in bringing the minimum base salary for classroom teachers to $47.5 or providing salary increases to other instructional personnel. And finally, as you will hear when I explain our PCB, the student transportation allocation will no longer be the funding source for the FTC and FESEO transportation scholarship. And I am recommending an increase to this categorical of $22.8 million. Members, well, this concludes my high-level summary of my proposed fiscal year 24 through 25 FEFP. I want to take a quick moment to talk about our current year FEFP. One of the most frequently stated concerns about the changes we made to the FEFP last year was, what if we got it wrong, and if there were more FES students coming into the FEFP than included in the forecast? As you recall, we included $350 million in the Educational Enrollment Stabilization Program to address any school district whose funds per student were less than appropriated amount when the FEFP is recalculated after the completion of the FTE survey. The third calc of the FEFP is based on the October FTE survey, and the third calc data has been provided to us. Obviously, I was most eager to see, were we wrong? And based on the results of the October FTE survey, $23.5 million for 11 school districts is being used. Of that $23.5, $21.5 is for one school district whose actual ESE student count is less than their forecasted number of ESE students. Thus, the school district's funds per student decreased. Of the remaining $2 million, $1 million is needed for a special school district whose FTE decreased by 2,000 students, so their funds per student were also decreased. The remaining $1 million is spread out over the remaining nine school districts. Eight of these districts have a decrease in their number of FTE, and the other school district had a decrease in its school tax value, all which decreased their funds per students. The bottom line, we were not wrong. Members, this is my proposed fiscal year 24 through 25 pre-K through 12 budget. I appreciate the support from the speaker and Chair Leak and their continued support to all of the school children and for allowing me to present this proposed budget. I know I've presented a lot of information, so I would encourage each of you to take today to review And to get back, Denise and I are here and would like to do what we did last year. So if you would like to come and sit down and have a conversation with us, we are available whenever you are. And with that, we will move forward if that is okay with each and every one of you. So now we will take up PCB PKA 2401. And for this, I will turn the gavel over to Representative Rizzo. Sorry. Tongue-tied this morning.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair Tomko, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you so much. So, members, this PCB conforms legislation to the proposed budget that I just presented. And without reading it, members, you should know that what's in it because it is based upon issues and presentations that we have discussed prior in the subcommittee. So our PCB does the following. It establishes a transportation stipend for parents of kindergarten through eighth grade who choose a Florida non-virtual public school for their child to attend that is not the public school their student is assigned to attend. The stipend will be funded outside of the FEFP and the student transportation allocation categorical in the FEFP will no longer be used as the funding source. As a result of this new transportation stipend, the PCB also makes two additional changes. It amends the FTC and FES EO scholarship programs to delete transportation as an eligible use of scholarship funds and repeals the Driving Choice Grant Program. Establishes funding for a charter school sponsored by a Florida college system, institution, or state university in the FEFP, which means the Tallahassee Collegiate Academy will be funded in the FEFP for the fiscal year 24 through 25. Additionally, the PCB clarifies the capital outlay funding for these types of charter schools, which will be the same as capital outlay funding for lab schools. And finally, the PCB clarifies that the Florida Virtual Schools Education Foundation is eligible for the matching grant program funded by the Florida Academic Improvement Trust Fund. And that is the PCB.
Very well. Having explained our bill, there are no amendments to this bill. Members, are there any questions on Chair Tomko's bill? Representative Bracey Davis, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning. A question for you, Chair Tomko. How many stipends does this bill anticipate being used for parents? And is it first come, first serve?
You're recognized, Chair.
It is first come, first serve, but it is a little under 18,000.
Representative Bracey Davis, any follow-up?
No, I'm good for now.
Okay. We will now move to Ranking Member Williams. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What are some of the other things that this stifling could be used for other than transportation?
You're recognized, Chair.
Thank you.
Just transportation.
Follow-up. Ranking Member, any follow-up?
Does this bill create new funding stream for those from Florida University systems to increase the capacity of overlay of the charter schools?
You're recognized, Chair.
No, it does not.
Ranking Member, any follow-up?
Yes, sir.
Please, you're recognized.
Thank you very much. Are public school transportation costs currently fully funded?
Chair, you're recognized.
No, they are not. And if you want to ask a little deeper, I'm sure, about the stipend, I will follow up with that.
Okay.
Ranking Member, another follow-up?
Yes, sir.
Please, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. What is the approximately amount of percentage that school districts spends now on transportation for students?
I don't have that number, but that would not be in the stipend.
Mr. Chair. Ranking Member, any follow-up?
Yes, sir.
Oh, please, go ahead.
Thank you very much. How many stifling does this bill anticipating that parents are not using or should be using? Are we actually informing them that this is available for them?
It's brand new, so I assume that as soon as hopefully this passes with your favorable support, we will be able to inform them.
Ranking Member, any follow-up?
I'll allow someone else to ask questions. Oh. If not, I will come back.
Well, thank you. If we have some time, we'll go back. Let's see. Representative Dunkley, did you have a question? Ranking member asked your question. Okay, and did I see, saw some movement there from Representative Daley. Do we have any questions over there, Representative? None? Okay, you sure? Oh, all right, okay, so we will move back to Representative Bracey Davis. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we said the stipend is first come, first served. If that is the case, why is there a limit within qualifying households?
The stipend is only used for those students that parents have decided to choose another school that their child is not assigned to at first. So it is not for all students, only those that apply to that category.
Any follow-up? Okay. Any other questions from the members?
One last one.
One last one. Okay. Ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Can you tell us where this funding is actually coming from?
General revenue.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Very well. Seeing no further questions, is there anyone wishing to testify on the bill? No? We have no cards? Very well. Members, we are now in debate. Do we have anyone wishing to debate Chair Tomko's bill? Very well. Seeing none. Chair Tomko, you are recognized to close on your fine bill.
I would ask each and every one of you for your favorable support as we put this PCB forward. You know, obviously it is tied to our budget, so we need it to pass, my friends.
Okay. Chair Tomko, having closed on her bill, DJ, please call the roll.
Chair Tomko?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gossett-Seidman? Ranking Member Williams?
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez? Bracey Davis?
Yes.
Kennedy? Daley?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
That is 12 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, please show PCB PKA 2401 be reported favorably. Congratulations, Chair Tomko. And with that, I relinquish the gavel back to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your patience and waiting, Representative Koster. We will take up CSHB 883, short-acting okay, I'm going to let you say that one, use in public and private schools by the Choice and Innovation Subcommittee, and you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I enjoyed hearing about your proposed budget, so I'm excited to see what we do in this space. Good morning, Chair and Vice Chair. I don't believe you're here, Ranking Member and Committee. HB 883 will allow public and private schools to purchase and maintain a supply of short-acting bronchodilators and then components, otherwise known as inhalers, for students to use in the case of an emergency respiratory distress. HB 883 allows physicians, physician assistants, and APRNs to prescribe inhalers in the name of the school and allows pharmacists to dispense the prescription to the school. The bill requires participating school districts or private schools to adopt a protocol developed by a licensed physician for the administration of the inhaler by trained school personnel. The bill also requires schools to notify parents of their adopted protocol. That is the bill.
Thank you for explaining your bill. There are no amendments. Do we have any questions of the sponsor? Democratic Ranking Member Williams, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. When you spoke about the inhalers, way I'm understanding, each person is assigned their own inhaler, or this is something that they would share at school?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. So students are still allowed to bring their own prescribed independent inhaler to school. This bill would allow, similar to what we do now in school districts for EpiPens, epinephrine pens, this will allow the school to actually have a supply on hand of inhalers that are prescribed directly to the school so that if a child is in respiratory distress and doesn't have his or her own prescribed inhaler with them at school, the school then, according to their protocol, would be able to administer an inhaler to the child.
Follow up.
Thank you very much. So each student that will actually be in need of an inhaler would be able to use this device that's at school. Are there public records of their need of an inhaler machine available to the public?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure I understood the last part of your question. I think the first part, yes, a student, the parents would have to give authority to the school district to allow for the use of the inhaler. But I think even a child who didn't have a known asthmatic condition but found themselves in respiratory distress, if the school was able to get permission from the parent, they could then use their inhaler supply for that child.
Any further questions? Seeing no further questions, do we have any? We have public testimony. We have Nancy Luther with Florida PTA waving in support. Mary Thomas with Florida Medical Association waving in support. Anna Grace Lewis with the American Lung Association waving in support. Members, now we are in debate. Is there any debate on this bill? Oh, Representative Gonzalez-Pittman, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Costa, for bringing this very good bill. It's so necessary. So many of our children come to school and they've left their inhaler or their EpiPen at home, and this will give a lot of relief. Thank you.
Any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Koster, you are recognized to close on the bill.
I'll waive closed, Chair.
Having waived closed on the bill, DJ, will you please call the roll?
Chair Tomko?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gossett-Seidman? Ranking Member Williams?
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez, Bracey Davis, Kennedy, Daly?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Eleven yeas, zero nays.
Members, by your vote, show CS for HB 287 will be reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Committee.
Next up, we will have HB 553, career-themed course by Representative Dunkley. And if you'd like to present there, you can. Great. You're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, and thank you for allowing me to present HB 553 relating to career-themed courses. Chair Tomko, Vice Chair Gossett-Seidman in her absence, and Ranking Member Williams, thank you, and my subcommittee members, thank you for allowing me. So House Bill 553 increases awareness of and promotes career and technical education opportunities for middle school students. It requires a school district to inform students and parents during course selection of the Career and Professional Academy of career-themed courses available to the student. It also requires the strategic plan required under the Career and Professional Education Act to be constructed to include strategies that inform and promote career and technical education opportunities available in the district. And it requires data collection by the Department of Education of students' achievement in industry-certified career education programs and career-themed courses to be included in the annual career and technical education review conducted by the commissioner. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Seeing no amendments, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we do have some members of the audience wishing to testify. We have Nancy Lothar with the Florida PTA waving in support. We have Chadwick Leonard with Florida Education Association waving in support. We have Edward Briggs with the Florida Trade Academy waving in support. And Pamela Fort with the Florida State Conference of NAACP branches waving in support. Members, we are in debate. Is there any debate? Ranking Member Williams, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Representative Dudley, I appreciate you bringing this bill forward. A career streamline for children in school right now is very important for us. So I want to say thank you for thinking outside of the box and bringing the bill forward.
Any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Dunkley, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close, Madam Chair.
Representative Dunkley, having closed on the bill, DJ, please call roll.
Chair Tomko?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gossett-Seidman? Ranking Member Williams?
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bracey Davis? Kennedy? Daly?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
That is 12 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, show HB 553 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative. Members, this concludes our meeting today. I would, again, suggest that each of you, if you would like to get with me or Denise or the both of us, please let us know. Seeing no further business before our committee, Ranking Member Williams moves we rise, and without objection, our meeting is adjourned.